My name's Lisa. I'm an alcoholic. Thank you, Lisa, for roping me. I mean, asking me to come share with you. My story is basically I was the drunk that had to lose everything. I was living in a trailer, a camper trailer, on a piece of concrete slab at my dad's house with my two kids, and I had absolutely nothing. I lost my job. I lost my business. I lost my second marriage. The only thing I didn't lose were my kids. And, you know, I had to drink when I was awake. I had to drink. And it was the only thing that would keep me from shaking. If I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning, I had to make a drink. I had to make a drink to make my kids lunch, and I had to have a cocktail in the car when I drove them to school. And that's just the kind of drunk that I was. And I did this over and over and over, and I would lie to, you know, to my family and friends and tell them that I was looking for a job, and knowing that there's no way I can go and be at a workplace. There's no way that I could stop drinking for an 8-hour period of time to work. It just wasn't going to happen. Besides the fact that I was completely bloated, my liver was basically shutting down. My ankles were swollen. I was 170 something pounds. I was basically dying, and I could not stop drinking. And so, you know, I'm living out in this trailer with my kids. I'm jobless. I get child support, and that all goes to booze. I completely drain my kids' savings account. I had nothing, but I always had a bottle in the freezer. And so towards the end, you know, I knew something was going to happen. I knew I was either going to get a DUI, I was going to get into an accident, something was going to happen. And it did. I was on my way home and coming down Telephone Road, and I hit a semi who was parked parallel in the road, and I hit him. And for some reason, I turned to the left before I hit him, because if I would have went straight, I would have decapitated all three of us. And I got out of the car. Nobody was hurt. And I was yelling at the guy because he was parked in the road in my way. And if I hadn't have been drunk, it would have been his fault. So, of course, I get arrested. My dad comes and takes my kids, and I go to jail that night. And I'm thinking, you know, it's a jail's not a good place to be. I'm thinking of the night, just the one night there, the first time. And you know, I'm starting to detox and I'm starting to shake, and I called my dad and I said, they set my bail at $10,000, and he said, well, you're staying. I'm not picking you up. And to this day, I don't really understand what the whole bail thing was about, but they did let me go. And I had to wait for a ride. I called my best friend, and she wasn't able to get there. And she made contact, and my brother ended up picking me up. And my brother is a very successful attorney. No profanity, right? And I don't really like my brother, but he was there for me. He picked me up, and he asked me, do you think you have a problem? And I said yes. And that was the first time I'd ever said that I had a problem with drinking. And he said, then we're going to get you help. And the first thing that I did when I got back to my trailer was I looked in the freezer for my bottle, because I was shaking so bad. And it was gone. My dad took it. And so I knew it was on. I had to do this. And my dad was there for me. He took me to the hospital and made sure that I had fluids and helped me to detox. And I detoxed, and it was brutal. It was horrible. And so then I knew I was facing jail time. So I did. I went to jail, and they sentenced me to 90 days. And I didn't end up serving that much time. I went to rehab. And part of the reason I went to rehab was because I thought that if I went to rehab and showed that I really wanted to get help, maybe I wouldn't have to go to jail. And that wasn't the case, because I got charged with a felony DUI with child endangerment. Even though my kids didn't get hurt, I could have killed them. And so I had a felony. And so I went to rehab, I went to jail, I got out of jail, and I moved in with my mom and my kids. And, you know, when I got here, I didn't necessarily want to stay sober. I analyzed everything in the book. I questioned everything. I didn't need a sponsor. I did not understand anything about Alcoholics Anonymous. I had no clue. I grew up with an alcoholic grandmother, but recovery was never in our home. And so the thing that saved me, I think that I wasn't willing. I know I wasn't willing, because I wanted to find all the contradictions in the book. I wanted to find somebody that shared in a meeting and somebody sharing something different and call them out on it, because you guys are whacked. And it proved, I obviously got proven wrong. I've been here for almost 5 years. I finally got a sponsor. I worked the steps, and I still stayed living with my mom. You know, nobody would hire a felon. I couldn't find a job. So I cleaned houses. I did what I could to get money to pay for the roof that my mom provided for us over our head, whether it was $100 or $300 if it was a good month. And my mom let us stay there. And 3.5 years into my recovery, my sponsor relapsed. And that completely rocked my entire world. My entire world of recovery that I thought was so fantastic, and I loved life. My first and only 12-step call was to my sponsor's house, and it was horrible. And the thing that scared me the most when she relapsed is trying to get her to go back to meetings. She didn't want to get back into it. It was just amazing how fast the denial took over her thinking. And I was devastated. I was absolutely devastated. Why can't she get this back? And so I did, when she called me and told me she relapsed, I did what you guys taught me to do, and I picked up the phone and I called another alcoholic, and I called Lisa. And her and Suzanne, they scooped me up and took me to a meeting. And we went to a meeting in Solvang. Suzanne asked me, she says, how willing are you? I got to tell this story. How willing are you? And I said, I'll do whatever it takes. And she said, okay, we're going to the speaker meeting in Solvang. And I said, they asked me to speak there tonight, and I lied and told them I was out of town. And she said, we're going to Solvang. So, needless to say, I got asked to speak again, and I did, and I told on myself, and I told them, I told the girl I lied to you, and I apologized. Because you guys taught me, you tell the truth. You tell the truth, because that's how much I hate being up here. So, I got Suzanne as my sponsor, and, you know, it's taken me 4.5 years, and I finally got a job. I've had a job for a little over a year now, and I finally moved out of my mom's house, and my kids and I have our own place, and I have my driver's license, and I have a car, and I can put gas in it, and I never, ever thought that that just surrendering and just saying, I don't know, could ever change my life the way it's changed my life. And the people that I have in my life are true friends. That I'll never find friends like I have in Alcoholics Anonymous. And when I moved, you know, people stepped up and they helped me move and they packed my stuff. And it's just amazing to me, the friendships that I have and the people that I have in my life. And life's not always good. It's not always good. And I know when something is bad that it'll pass. Even though it sucks at the time, I know it'll pass. And I've learned that by staying here. And so that's it. Thank you for letting me share.
That was great. Let's give Lisa another round of applause.